concept relative to the subject of faith. In this time, in the apostolic age, Paul encountered what I'm doing here is just comparing some things that Paul pointed out in his writing and some things that James pointed out in his writing. So in the time when the apostles were going around preaching and teaching, Paul encountered many who made religious good works, that is, good works relating to the law, the Old Testament system. Paul encountered many who thought that good works was everything. For example, listen, Paul, in Romans chapter 4, verse 2 and verse 6. In chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Let us hear these passages quick.
Romans 2, 6.
Uh-huh.
Who will render to every man?
Romans 4, verse 2 and verse 6.
For if Abraham were justified by works.
Notice, he's addressing religious Jews who thought that religious works of the law was everything. So he's showing that Abraham was not justified by good works. Read.
For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory.
Wait. You see, when it comes to salvation, dealing with sin, man has nothing to glory about. We must keep that in mind. We may hear a thousand lessons on it, and sometimes within our system, our thinking, we feel that we deserve and we have merited in God's sight some religious pluses. But we don't. It is God's mercy and God's grace alone that make forgiveness possible in Christ. Read, brother.
For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory,
mm-hmm.
but not before God.
Not before God. What? If Abraham, what?
Were justified by
works. Notice the expression. He's telling us that Abraham was not justified by works. That's why, if Abraham were, the mood there is the subjunctive mood, telling us Abraham in fact was not justified by works. What happened?
If justified by works, he has whereof to glory.
He could glory.
But not before God.
Read on, brother.
For what says the scripture?
What says the scripture?
Abraham believed God.
And that belief
was counted unto him.
Counted to him.
For right.
And God did that was to preserve the Jews and monotheism, one God. Preserve that one God doctrine among this one nation, so that the Savior, who would ultimately now save Jews and Gentile in one church. Mm-hmm. So watch here. While God had divided the world into Gentiles and Jews, now that their eternal salvation time has come for that, God is not willing to save Jews in a Jewish church and Gentile in a Gentile church. Wait, Mr. Mitchell. Are you saying that I do not have the church of my choice? No, if you have that, it's given by Satan, not by God. Truly. Because the passage under consideration that is before the brother, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, listen it again.
And that he might reconcile them both.
Both mean Jews and Gentile.
To God.
To God.
In one body.
In both bodies.
One body.
You notice, it's not both bodies. That is, it's not two churches. It's not a dozen churches. It's not 300 plus church as we do have in our time. The Almighty God planned to save Jews and Gentile in one church. Mr. Mitchell, I can't believe you are correct. Well, if you don't believe I'm correct, believe the Bible is correct. That's right. That he might save Jews and Gentile in one church. That's God's inspired word. Where is he reading from? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16. But watch here now. Listen, chapter 3 and verse 6. Same book of Ephesians.
That the Gentiles should be fellow hearers.
Should be fellow, that why fellow, Brother Mitchell, like the Jews. Should be fellow here
of the same body.
You all hear that again? Remember, the body is the church. You know, I like how the Bible is plain. It's not only the one church, but it must be the
same church. Same
it
body.
It must be the same. Huh? You all got that? What is the point? The business whereby you think you can be saved by good works and you do not need any church. Well, you have a point there. You really do not need just any and any church. But if by that you mean you can bypass the church, the body of Christ, you are terribly mistaken. Because the Almighty God planned to reconcile. The word reconcile means to bring to himself for eternity all those who submit to his will. He planned to do it not in 10, 15, 20, 300 different churches, but one true church. Are we all there? The church. In fact, look at Ephesians also. Ephesians. May I? Ephesians is the book that was written about the church. Let us say a little more in it. Chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, and from verse 25 to 32. Still about this one true church. Talk about you do not need any church. Let me tell you today that you do need the church. Amen. That Christ built in order for you to stand right before God. I turn that around. No man or woman on this earth can ever stand right in the sight of God outside of the church of Christ, the body of Christ. Look at the passage now under consideration. Ephesians chapter 5. Did I say verse 25 to 32? Let us hear it.
Husbands. Love your wives.
Love your wives.
Just as Christ also loved the church.
In the same way Christ loved, notice again the definite word telling you it's one of its kind. The church.
And gave himself for her.
The church is Christ's bride. And he doesn't believe in polygamy. That's right. That is Christ. Read on.
That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing.
Wait, brother, take time with me. If you want to be sanctified, amen, you have to be in the church. Amen. If you want to be
cleansed,
you have to be in the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse it
with the washing of
if
water.
If you want to be washed,
amen,
clean, you have to be in the church. Read.
That he might present her to himself a glorious church.
Uh-huh.
Not having spot or
wrinkle. If you want to get rid of this spot, you know, I have a sermon from this passage, getting rid of the wrinkles. That's right. If you want to get rid of the spiritual spot, the word spot here is referring to sin. Notice here that what the brother is reading is can you read that? Ongoing.
Amen.
It is going on now.
Amen.
The sanctifying is going on now. Wait. Everybody needs what is being discussed in the passage. Are you here? And you may say, Mr. Mitchell, I'm not a Christian. It's talking about Christian. Yes, you're right. It's talking about Christian. But you need to be sanctified. You need to be cleansed. You need to be washed spiritually. You need to get rid of the spiritual spot, sin. That is going on now. But wait. It's not going on in government. It's not going on in the school. It's not going on in the homes. It's going on in the church. The only place. And you or I can never get cleansed, sanctified, washed, getting rid of the spot outside of the church of Christ. The brother didn't stop reading. Read on.
Or any such thing.
Mm-hmm.
That she should be holy.
If you want to be holy, it's taking place in the church.
And without blemish.
If you want to be without spiritual blemish, that's another term for sin. You have to be in the church.
So,
Christian, don't move, brother. As long as we remain faithful, we are being cleansed every day. In other words, God is fixing us up for eternity. It was not just a one-shot thing. It's an ongoing thing. We are told in the book, don't go there, in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, that as long as we walk in the light, His blood does what? Cleanse it. That means continues to cleanse us. Read on, brother.
So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies.
Watch here now.
He who loves his wife loves himself.
Read on.
For no one ever hated his own flesh.
Read on.
But nourishes and cherishes
it,
just as the Lord does the church.
Read on.
For we are members of his
body. Watch here now. We are members of
his body.
Watch here. May I? The apostle here is quoting from Genesis. What was said of Adam and Eve? Eve being Adam's wife is being said of Jesus Christ and the church. The verse the brother has before him is 31 or 30?
30.
Is from Genesis. When God, out of Adam's side, created Eve. Read that.
For we are members of his body.
We who, brother? The church of Christ, the Christian. We are members of Jesus' body. You're talking about you don't need any church. You don't know how much you need the church. We are members of the body of Christ, which is his church.
Of his flesh.
We are members of his flesh.
And of his bones.
Of his bones. You hardly hear that? The very same thing that was said of Adam and Eve. But watch here now.
For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife.
Read on.
And the two shall become one.
Watch here now. Watch here now. Read on.
This is a great mystery.
Wait. He said, Paul said, this is a great mystery. But he's saying to us, he said, I am not so much talking about husband and wife, even though they are brought in. I am talking about Jesus Christ and the church. Read that little part, brother.
This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church.
You see, all that we have been dealing with from verse 25 right back. Where wife and husbands are brought in. He said, Paul said, this is a mystery.
But
he said, here is the explanation. I'm talking about Jesus Christ
the church. And the church.
The church, not churches. Talk about you don't need any church. You do need the church of Christ. And all that we have just read. About being sanctified, cleansed, washed. All of this, the passage indicates, is taking place one place. And that is in the church that Jesus Christ has built. No man can stand right in God's sight outside of his church. Are we all there? Therefore, works of obedience. We are talking about faith. How James encountered religious men and women then, like we encountered today, that believe our mental assent, our belief up here that there is a God and that Christ went to Calvary for my sin. That belief is enough. That's what James is dealing with. And James is showing then, as he's showing now, that is false. Mere belief is not enough. Works of obedience is the divine gold standard. Start that again, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking me. Works of obedience is the divine gold standard test of true faith. genuine faith, saving faith, God accepted faith. Mr. Mitchell, I like all that sound. Well, like the truth in it. So let me repeat it. Works of obedience is God. When we talk about in the medical scientific world, when you hear a thing referred to as gold standard, it means it is the top of the list criteria or standard used. And God gold standard for saving faith. That is the test of saving faith, of genuine faith, of God accepted faith, of true faith. God gold standard test is obedient, or rather obedience to the will of Jesus Christ. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? To show God that you really believe, that belief has to be demonstrated by works of obedience. Are we all there? Let us look at some passages. Romans chapter 16. And verse, in fact, start at Romans chapter 1, verse 5.
By whom we have received.
And then another brother turned to chapter 16, 25 and 26. And another brother turned to James chapter 2, 17. Okay, let us hear Romans chapter 1, verse 5.
By whom we have received grace and apostleship.
Watch here. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. We are talking about God, gold standard test of true faith, genuine faith, saving faith, God accepted faith. The only way you're going to show God that you have the right type of faith is when that faith produces obedient works. There is no other way. But Mr. Mitchell, I believe in God and in Jesus Christ so strongly. It must be strong enough that it pushes you to obedience. And we are going to see in the Bible. Yes, Romans chapter 1. That's where we are starting with this one. Romans chapter 1, verse 5, and then Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26.
Now to him that is of power to establish you according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began.
Notice the mystery was kept secret. It's no more a secret. It's now revealed.
Now made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith.
Are we all there? May I quickly read that again, brother?
Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel.
You're reading from 1:5.
From 25.
Oh, okay, that's why.
16.
That's okay, brother. I wanted to start in sequence. That's quite okay. You're at 16.
25.
Yes, okay. Read just verse 26 now.
But now is made manifest. and by the scriptures of the prophets,
mm-hmm.
according to the commandment of the everlasting God,
mm-hmm.
made known to all nations.
Made known to all nations.
For the obedience of faith.
The one translator translate this to bring about the obedience of faith. Watch here. It is the obedience which came out of faith. The obedience of faith. It is as a result of the person's faith that the person obeys. Listen to the same thing in chapter 1, verse 5. Now, chapter 1, verse 5 might be worded a little differently, but may I? When you read the two passages from the American Standard Version, which is a little more in keeping with the original Greek, why, Brother Mitchell? Because by the time the American Standard Version was translated from Greek to English, more manuscript had been found. Mr. Mitchell explained that. But you are taking up a lot of time in my sermon. By the time the King James Translation, 1611, whatever, when the scholars translated that. That's all English. The American Standard Version in the early 20th century, by the time scholars came together to put together a more authentic translation in keeping with the original Greek, they had found more manuscript of the Greek New Testament. Ancient manuscripts that were found all over the place in the span of a few hundred years. And this is why you find the King James scholar did a great work. Thank God for the King James Version. But the American Standard Version was able to compare more manuscripts. So from that you find Romans chapter 1 and verse 5 and Romans chapter 16 and verse 26 are translated the same way because it's the same truth that Paul is expressing. Let us hear it from chapter 1 and verse 5.
Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles. To the obedience that comes from faith.
Well, I like that. Why are you reading that? That's not King James.
The NIV.
That's right. Thank you, brother, for finding something that brings it out right. Huh? That's right.
Through whom we receive grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith.
You notice obedience of faith. That is, the obedience comes from faith. What is the point? That unless your faith is the type that produces obedient works, that faith is dead faith. It has no spiritual benefit. But Mr. Mitchell, are you telling me, I believe there is one true God? Great. I believe Christ went on Calvary cross for me? Great. But it is of no use to you. It doesn't bring you any spiritual benefit. Your faith, and that's what James is saying, must produce the works of obedience. Always. Always. May I? Look at James chapter 2, verse 17. James 2, 17.
Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone.
Are we all there? What would you rather? The thing that is alive or the thing that is dead? You see, because by implication, the inspired writer is telling us that there is a dead faith and there is a living faith. The dead faith is faith. It is belief. But because it is alone, it lacks obedient works. It is of no use. Now, because time is upon us, I want to probably just a few more remarks and pick up on this, because there are some very important things that must be brought out in this lesson. In the rest of the lesson, not this week, I'll be showing that in genuine faith, in saving faith, in the living faith, in the God-accepted faith, there must always be a who. In saving faith, there must always be a what. In saving faith, there must always be another what. Very important. May I just give you an hint? Always and forever, faith must encompass who is the object of our faith. Must. Always and forever, you cannot stop with the who of your faith. It always has to go on to the what of your faith. And another what of your faith. Oh Lord, I wish I could let the sun and the clockmen stand still like Joshua, but I cannot. I beg that you avail yourself for the rest of this lesson. Because it will put you in a better position to teach men and women that when the Bible talks about faith, you cannot stop with the who. Let me just, we are on it in the radio program, that is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. For he who comes to God must believe
that he is, and that he is a rewarder
of them. That's the
who
of your faith. That's the who of your faith. And that encompassed John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him. That's the who of your faith. But then, Brother Mitchell, you confuse us about the two what. That's why I'm not going to say much more. If you want to be unconfused, come back next week. And that is important. Faith is never faith. In fact, genuine faith never stops with the who. It has to move on to the what? And that's the problem James faced with the audience that he was writing to, correcting the falsehood, the same falsehood that we have to correct today. That's why the rest of this lesson is so important. You and I find so many men and women. There are so many preachers out there telling men and women, just believe in Jesus Christ and you are saved. You and I, in trying to enlighten them, we encounter them daily. It is hope that when we complete this lesson, it would place you in a better position to show that genuine faith never stops with the who. There is a what and there is a what. Today, do you have a dead faith or a living faith? James chapter 2 verse 17 says, "Will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead, being alone?" We don't need that type of faith. I don't even touch on the fact yet that the devils believe and tremble. Why are you not trembling? Well, first, why the devil tremble? We will be going into the fact that the devils, the demons, know more about the judgment of God, the justice of God, the immutability of God's will than we do. They know that they have something to tremble about. In fact, the word tremble used in that passage used nowhere else in the New Testament. We will look at that next week. But for right now, you need not a dead faith that stops with mere belief. You need the faith that will push you on to obedience so that the Almighty God through Jesus Christ can do for you what needs done. We are about to sing a song of invitation. When that song is sung to God's glory and honor, it is a chance for you to respond in faith and the faith that produces obedience. The faith that produces obedience purifies our heart. The faith that produces obedience also renew our will, where we make allegiance to a different person other than Satan and self. The faith that produces obedience, not only that, it also change our revolutionize our conduct. Yes, faith affects our conduct. Today you can respond to the love and the mercy and the grace of God if you really believe. But please don't ever think that mere belief will get you where you need to be in God's sight. It must be the type of faith that produces obedience. If not, it is dead faith. If you stop at the who in your faith, then it will profit you nothing. As we stand, Jesus Christ is calling you. 578. 578.